90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender community. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening. This is Brian Levinka,
J.D. Doyle,
Summer Iman,
Jack Falinski,
and Glenn Holt. And tonight we will be joined by a spokesman from the Pride Portraits Group who will talk about their plans for the holidays, and we're also going to discuss recent vandalism of the Be Visible wall in the Heights. And then we're going to have the complete This Way Out for a change. Brian.
Yes, we wanted to catch up with Pride Portraits, and actually our guest has never been on the show, so we're kind of catching up for the first time. And JD's in here to help, because JD's in Facebook jail, and he just has nothing to do with
you. Nothing to do except binge-watch Mad Men.
You got caught, too?
Tenth time. Who's counting?
He's a naughty, naughty boy.
This is Queer Voices.
This is Brian Levinka.
And J.D. Doyle.
And we have the honor of having Eric Edward Schell in from Pride Portraits in the studio tonight to talk about Pride Portraits. And what, I'm sure you've seen this around, there's like a rainbow kind of backdrop with all kinds of people in the community that are taking their portraits with you. And you are the creator and the only photographer, is that correct?
Yes, I am the creator and sole photographer of Pride Portraits.
So where did this idea come from?
About 2.5 years ago, right after the Pulse shooting, Brad Pritchett and the ACLU of Texas, we were doing a video talking about not being afraid to go to Pride that year. And in that video, we had Brandon Heavey, Monica Roberts, Brad Pritchett, Dee Dee Waters, Fran Watson, Ryan Leach, and Lou Weaver. And those were a few of what I like to call the first class of Pride portraits. They have a very soft spot in my heart for them. And we were talking about not being afraid to be visible that year at Pride because people were very aware of what was going on. And I started photographing when we were taking a break. And I noticed that I had photographed the entire LGBTQIA spectrum in a matter of 2 hours. And I couldn't quite believe that. So I didn't quite know what to do with that. So I made a Facebook post and I just posted these photos and I went to bed and I woke up and there was tons of notifications on my personal Facebook. And from there, I thought, well, maybe I should do this again. It was kind of fun. I'd been a photographer for a number of years and I was aligned with different organizations around Texas and national organizations like Human Rights Campaign, Equality Texas, the ACLU of Texas, other things like that. And so I posted an event on Facebook and I said, I'm going to be at this paint wall at Tuam and Bagby for 5 hours. And I didn't expect really anyone to show up because it was in the middle of summer. And, you know, here in Houston, it's like 90 degrees.
And hotter than that.
Yeah. And, you know, so I did this photo session and about 100 people showed up. And January Leo was one of those people that showed up during the first session. And you know, she and I started talking and we were talking about just kind of life. But then she kind of told me her story as an ally and why she was an ally to our community. And then other people like Brandon Mack were there and just various other people just kept telling me stuff about their lives. And, you know, I got home and I posted the photos and again, they just went crazy on social media. And I think it was at a time when we were seeing tons of posts from survivors, but also people who had been murdered at the Pulse shooting. And we were seeing news stories of them. So our whole community was kind of distraught. And then all of a sudden, they started seeing these really beautiful, smiling faces. And these just, it was kind of uplifting. And I think it was, I started doing this at a very good time.
But you also asked people to make comments of their own statements.
Yeah, so that actually didn't happen until a couple of the photo sessions that I did that were outside. Because people were telling me all this stuff about their lives, I thought, well, why don't I have them write it down on an index card? And then when I post their photo, all put their, whatever they wrote about themselves. And that was received really, really well. So that was kind of the bare bones of what Pride Portraits is. It's a photo and a statement. And from there, I took some time to evaluate what I wanted to do. And I had met an artist named Hugo Perez at one of the open shoots. And I contacted him and I said, I would really like to commission you to do a piece, a backdrop, so I don't have to keep doing this outside.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, at the end of five of these sessions, you know, in 90 degree weather, you're
not the freshest after that.
Yeah, and neither are the people you're photographing. So Hugo took about a week and we discussed what we wanted to do. And I said, I want a very broad representation of a pride flag. I don't want a literal rainbow because I want allies to be comfortable doing this campaign as well.
So he did all the backgrounds.
Yeah. So he did the backdrop and,
there's just one, isn't there?
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's been, there's one backdrop and it's been used in all the photos.
Yeah.
And so I saw this backdrop and I said, oh my goodness, you've put on canvas exactly what was in my brain. So from there, I met with Fran Watson and she said, you know, Eric, you have something really special here. And I think that, you're doing a really great service for people. And I was like, yeah, I know. And I was very hesitant about what to do for my next steps. And I had been toying with the fact of doing a 501c3.
What was your hesitation?
I don't know. I wasn't sure.
Is there enough there?
Yeah. I was, you know, I had this thing that people loved, but I was like, I wonder if there's longevity in this. I wonder, you know, I had to look at why I was doing it. And I think the real reason why I started it was because I really just couldn't wrap my head around the fact that people wanted our community dead for simply existing. Mm-hmm. And we saw that with the Pulse shooting. So Fran really helped me out and we got a 501c3 together. We did all the paperwork. I was very nervous. It took about a year.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Until I did that. And, you know, so once I had the backdrop, we did a launch of the campaign and I decided I was just going to keep the title Pride Portraits. And, it actually stands for Photographs Representing Individuals Deserving Equality.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I knew it was like, you know, had the dot, pride dot, R dot.
Yeah. So very early on, in the first like iteration of what Pride Portraits was, I did have the dots there.
Yeah.
I've since taken them out. It's kind of a long title.
Yeah.
But, so we did this launch and it was amazing. So many people from our community showed up and, one of those people was Stephen Miranda and we met, after that and we had a dinner and, you know, he's like, what you're doing is so cool. You know, tell me more about it. And I said, you know, I really just wanted to create this thing for people within our community to be visible, represented and humanized because there are so many people within the LGBTQIA spectrum who are doing great work and are at the forefront of our movement. And then there's tons of people who are more marginalized and are doing great work, but they're not getting recognition for the work that they're doing. Either they're people of color or they're people who just are not, for whatever reason, their organizations or what they're doing is not getting the attention that it really deserves. And, you know, Pride Portraits is a way to connect our community and to feel a sense of pride. And it's not very often that you're stopped and asked, tell me about yourself. Who are you? And so it's a very simple concept, but it has a huge impact.
Were you inspired by the No Hate photo kind of?
I wasn't actually. I knew about the No Hate campaign, but it was, so backstory, it was at a time when I was not very conscious of anyone else but myself. I went through years of addiction issues and
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, years of stuff that I just had to get over. And I, you know, got sober when I was around 30.
Wait, you're not 30 now?
Well, I'm 34 now.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were in your 20s.
No, I'm 34.
Wow.
And, you know, I grew up in San Francisco and then we moved to New Jersey and it was a very rural area and everyone told me that I was gay and that it was wrong. And I got teased and bullied and physically, you know, beaten up and all this stuff. And when I finally did come out, I had to figure out what that meant for me, because everything else I'd been told about being gay was it was bad and you would be hurt for it. And it once I got sober and I found my own self-worth, I was able to see outside of myself and see that there is a whole community of people. And, you know, I'm the first to say I was pretty naive about our community. As a simply existing as a gay man didn't give me the knowledge about the rest of our community. When I say the rest of the community, I mean the other respective letters within LGBTQIA+.
So what would you say your mission is now, and what is your kind of vision for the future of Pride Portraits?
So the vision of Pride Portraits is visibility is key for our community to promote the humanization of a community that is dehumanized every day. And we do this through photographs and storytelling. So the things that I love most about Pride Portraits is that you can have top political leaders. You can have...
And you have.
Yeah. You know, we've had top political leaders. We've had celebrities. We'd have very influential social media influencers. And then we've had people simply existing within the LGBTQIA spectrum. And the thing that I love about it is it brings everyone to a common goal and a common purpose. Everyone's doing a photograph and everyone's doing a statement. And it unifies us. And it really shows that we are all fighting for each other, and we're fighting for the community collectively.
Who is your most, who's your biggest get for your Pride Portrait, or who are you most proud of?
Oh, there's a lot that I think I'm really proud of. I think one of the people that was really special to me was Cleve Jones.
Yes.
He's the creator of the AIDS quilt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had read so much about this person and so much about his work and his activism. And I was in San Francisco when I was partnering with Facebook for 2018, Pride 2018. And I messaged him on Facebook through Messenger. And I said, Mr. Jones, my name's Eric Edward Schell. I'm with Pride Portraits. I sent him a link to the website. And I said, I would really love to meet with you and do Pride Portraits. The only problem is I don't know where we would do it. And he wrote back and he said, this campaign looks wonderful. I would love to do this. And I said, well, I have an idea. So I called some of my friends at Human Rights Campaign. Mm-hmm. And I said, can I use your Castro store location to set up and do one Pride Portrait? It'll be about 15 minutes. And they said, sure.
The old Harvey Milk photo office, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which was really cool to me because it was
like
kind of
ground zero where he's coming back to. Yeah.
Yeah. Like kind of centering all this history. And I had done a pop-up Pride Portraits event at the San Francisco store the year before. And so they knew who I was, and they said, sure, come on in. I forgot that it was Pride, and I forgot that it was packed. And
yeah, because that's the corner of gay and gay, and like ground zero for the Pride Parade.
Yeah, and so, I got there, we got off the plane, we rushed to the store with all the equipment. Thankfully, it made the plane ride. We set up, and he came in and was just wonderful. And we talked a lot about, you know, the impact that he's had on me and so many others. And I asked him what it was like meeting Bill and Hillary Clinton, because they were the first president and first lady to really acknowledge the AIDS crisis in somewhat of a good light.
They toured the AIDS quilt.
Yeah. So
yes, they did.
They mm-hmm. came down, and he told this story that they were about 30 minutes late coming to see the quilt, and he thought, well, it's not going to happen. They're not actually going to come down. And then all of a sudden he turned around and the whole, you know, area just was flooded with people, and all the people just parted ways. And there was Bill and Hillary, and she came down and looked at the quilt, and they had identified some people that she actually knew.
Oh, wow.
And he just said it was really moving, and it really helped him propel that project along. But in his Pride Portrait statement, he talked about how our movement has gone so far that it's so intersectional now that we're getting into, really fighting for racial justice mm-hmm. and other things besides just, you know, the core fights that we always fight.
Exactly.
One thing that I found moving that you've done is go to a mega house and take photos of people that are probably close to their way out, and I found those so, so moving.
Yeah, that's something that was really impactful for me personally. I went a couple months ago and met with about six people, and they've all passed since then.
Wow.
But the most remarkable thing to me was there was someone who was in their 60s. I'm sorry, I think they were in their 70s. And then there was a young man who was 18. And they, you know, had both found themselves with the same, with HIV, AIDS. And it was a big eye-opener to a lot of people who wrote in to Pride Portraits after I posted these photos that this is something that is still very much impacting our community. Mm-hmm. And not just our community.
And I think it was a gift of dignity to them.
Yeah. They. I look back at their photos and I remember talking with them and they just told me their stories. And it was like they had this moment of full clarity and peace and really were happy that someone was...
Cared
about them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was really nice.
What's been the biggest challenge with your program?
The biggest challenge is really reaching those marginalized communities that I care so much about. You know, being visible is such a privilege that we have. And a lot of people don't have that privilege. And a lot of people, you know, as soon as we are visible, a target is put on our back. And I think one of my biggest challenges is reaching communities that feel like they don't have a place within the widespread, you know, part of our community. And I'm talking about a lot of people of color, a lot of organizations that deal with the not so glamorous sides of our community. But they are wonderful and they are valid. And, so reaching them and having the means to do that has been a struggle, but it's been so uplifting and so wonderful to be able to do.
Have you had challenges for fundraising?
Yes.
It's that time of the year.
Yes. So for the first year and a half, Pride Portraits was solely funded by me, and it's a complete labor of love. Since we became a nonprofit, I have really only fundraised through Facebook. And it's been really wonderful. We have a very modest bank account, but we use the money to travel when we need to. Like if an organization reaches out to me and they don't have the money to bring me to them, then I can go, oh, well, I have just enough to get on a plane and get there. So that's been really great. So fundraising definitely has been challenging.
How many trips have you made around the country for this?
Well, I really started traveling within the last year, so I think we've done about 10 different trips to various places.
If you're joining us, we're speaking with Eric Edward Schell from Pride Portraits. Now, Eric, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Be Visible wall.
Yes.
In the Heights, which was a beautiful kind of statement of your mission and your purpose and visibility. It was unfortunately defaced.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on the side of Ginny's Noodle House. On
20th Street,
down where JD lives. As someone who kind of came up with Pride Portraits to be visible, and this is kind of a way for people to express themselves, how did that strike you when that happened, and what happened exactly?
Well, so the wall was always there to give people a place that didn't have the privilege of being out or visible to do their own photo, that they didn't have to be pushed online.
How long was it up?
It was up for about 6 months. Okay. And then late November, I got a phone call from Jenny and she said, the wall's been vandalized. And I said, oh God, okay. So we rushed to the site. We saw it and it said, stop the gay agenda. And then had some other writing on it. And it was really scary to see this happen in a time when I thought things, well, no, I didn't think they were getting better. I'm very aware that
it's the illusion of getting better. Yeah. We feel like we're getting things and then it just goes away.
Yeah.
Evaporates.
You know, I think we are living in a time of emboldened hate to resistance and resistance to equity and equality. And I think that Donald Trump and his administration are very closely linked to the uprise in LGBTQIA hate crimes. Mm-hmm. And the Be Visible Wall was listed as an official hate crime by Harris County Police.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's very scary for me, that something that was created with such love and devotion to our community was vandalized and is now an official hate crime.
So what's next for the wall? Or is there another wall?
One thing I do want to say about the wall and their signage of there is no or stop the gay agenda. You know, we don't have a gay agenda. We're not asking for extra rights. We're not asking for anyone to lose their rights. We're asking for equal rights.
We just want to live our lives.
Yeah, we just want to live and exist in
society.
And not
be discriminated against, not have things written about us on a wall in the Heights.
So a couple weeks ago, Constable Alan Rosen, Constable Precinct 1, reached out to me, and they said, is there going to be another wall? If there is, we would like to offer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week surveillance of this new site.
Like video surveillance.
Yeah, video surveillance. And
it's
said,
sad that we'd have to even get to that point.
Yeah, that's really shocking. But I said, you know, yes, I would love to do something. I don't know if it would be another mural or an art installation or a photography installation somewhere in town. But I want it to be Montrose this time. So we're in talks with a couple different locations right now. And hopefully that'll be done early next year.
And how did the wall on 20th Street get picked? I mean, it was Jenny, did she reach out?
Yeah, so I made a Facebook post kind of shaming Select Skate Shop for giving up and not continuing to paint over the wall that they had that kept being vandalized. You know, our fight's never been easy, and we've never given up, so why would they? And they were kind of allies to our community. So I wrote this Facebook post, and I, you know, wasn't really meaning anything to happen from it, but Jenny offered a wall, and she said, you know, I have this wall, it needs to be painted over, do you want it? And I said, absolutely.
And it was a beautiful kind of rainbow ombre kind of
like colors faded into colors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be hard, I was thinking, to fix that if you
had
to.
Right.
Yes.
You have to redo the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It would not have been an easy task.
Well, in the last few minutes, Eric, can you tell us what the future for Pride Portraits is and how people can get more information? And if people want to sign up to be in a portrait, how do they do that?
Yeah, so our website is prideportraits.org, and we have a Facebook page. And I do usually monthly open photo shoots where I set a block of time that people can come by the studio and get their pride portrait taken. Or you can email me and I'll answer you back, and we can schedule a time to meet at the studio. You know, it's been really amazing to see the community support from this. You know, we started out with 100 people at the first event, and to date, we have roughly 4,000 people across the country who've done the campaign. And that includes Pulitzer Prize winners, Academy Award winners, Grammy winners, Emmy winners, political leaders, celebrities, and, you know, people just existing within the LGBTQIA.
Which one made you the most nervous?
I would think probably Melissa Etheridge made me the most nervous.
Lesbian icon, for
sure. Yeah. You know, she came out at the White House. And, you know, she just holds so much history within our community. And it was just, it was an amazing experience, but it was very scary. Nancy Pelosi was also, made me very nervous.
Very good. Well, for more information, check out prideportraits.org for the website and information.
Thank you, Eric. Michelle?
Thank you so much for having me.
And this is Queer Voices.